like I want to be on a dance party, you know, every time I hear that, building bridges, yeah, you know. So anyway, hey, I'm glad you guys are here today. We're finishing our series today called Bridges. We've been talking about, you know, it's a relationship series where we've been talking about building and burning bridges in all of our relationships. Now, hopefully we're not burning bridges in all of our relationships, but how we're called to build bridges 360 degrees around us in every relationship in our life. That means with our spouse, if we're married. That means if in our friendships. It means with our coworkers and our family. It means those people that are classmates, all relationships in our life. And so we started out by talking about how God is the ultimate bridge builder. God is the ultimate bridge builder. In fact, before we can build any kind of bridge to anybody else, we have to recognize that our help comes from the one who built a bridge to us. Because while we were on one side of the chasm between us and God, God was on the other side, and we were trying to build a bridge in so many different ways to earn access to God. And every single time we fell in the lake, we fell in the ditch. But how God, on the other hand, God decided, while we couldn't build a bridge to him, he built a bridge of connection to us. What did he do? God sent his one and only son, and it wasn't just us, his son, it was his presence. It was the Lord himself who stepped down from his throne in heaven, stepped into our broken world, and he put on flesh. He was fully God and fully man, lived the same kind of life we live. He was exposed to the same kind of struggles. He loved people and probably got burned sometimes in relationships. And it was one of those things where as he got put on his hard hat and he got his hands and his feet not only dirty but nailed to a wooden cross, he did all that so that we would be invited. As he built a bridge through what he did on the cross, he built a bridge to us. We wouldn't be invited to walk across the bridge that Jesus has built for us. That's how God wants us to respond. And so like a bridge, the Bible tells us that you and I are built, or we're created for connection. We're created for relationships. And you know this, there's something inside of us where we're wired to not get isolated. But it's one of those things where since we're made in God's image, we're made to be connected to God and connected with people. So we've been talking about how to have genuine connection in our relationships, how to not have superficial or bad connections, but how to run after genuine connection. And last week, if you were here, we talked a little bit about just how do we maintain connection? How do we build a bridge over troubled waters when conflict arises? But today we're going to go even deeper into this and maybe, I think, talk about one of the most difficult, but I think one of the most important things that we need to learn in all of our relationships. And that is this: when to build a bridge in a relationship, and is there ever a time when we're to burn a certain bridge of connection? Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard a lot of messages like this growing up of like burning a bridge, you know? We're called to love everybody. We know that. But sometimes we have relationships in our life. You know this. We have people, relationships, family member, where all of a sudden, it's kind of like, God, I know I'm supposed to love these people, but what in the world? Like, I mean, is there ever a point, God, where I need to kind of cut off some connection, set up some boundaries? Is it ever time to burn a bridge? Or how much do I keep trying and connecting and helping and loving the certain people around me, but at the same time, is there ever a time to pull back from connections? So that's what we're talking about today. And I think that when we think about this idea of burning bridges or and all that stuff, I think really it comes when there's really three different layers of relationships where we kind of have this tension of, you know, am I supposed to just keep connecting, or should I burn a bridge in some kind of way? The first group of people would be called difficult people, or maybe you could say difficult relationships. Now, you're not saying anybody's bad or anything like that, but you're saying, like, these are people in your life, you know, that they're just, it's a little bit, you have to work a little bit harder to love. You have to work a little bit harder to connect with. And just a quick story. I wore my Asbury Seminary shirt on purpose because when I was in seminary, I graduated from college and I was done with the dorm life. Well, guess what? Got to seminary, which is grad school, and I was there for 3 years. And the first year, I was in the dorm again. And this was like, you know, this was like a sweaty, gross dorm, you know, where like a bunch of guys were. So it was like, man, it was a humbling experience as a college graduate to walk into that, almost like the dungeon. But it was awesome because there was great community. In fact, the dorm that I stayed at, Grice, we were on G3. We said G3 for life. We were like a good brotherhood of guys. guys are up there, but we were, the dorm that they built, Grice, they built all the different rooms around the perimeter of the building. And so the purpose was to cultivate community. So you go up to the third floor, and once you get there, you are immediately in one of two big community areas. So there's like rooms on the outside, community rooms on the inside. And so you have to walk through the place that's like designed for community where everybody has access to get to your room and to get out. So it's to spur community on. Well, that's all great, and people are really great, but there was one guy that to me and to so many people was one of those difficult relationships. He was a great guy. He loves Jesus and all this stuff. But man, there was just some things that just when you're living with people start to get under your skin, right? No spouse, you know, no elbows to your spouse or amens. But one of the things that happened is so we had a TV in the common area, not in our dorm rooms. We weren't allowed to do that to cultivate community. Well, he would kind of take over the TV on football games and would turn it to like some random show. And all of us guys were like, are you kidding? We got to watch our game, man, you know? But it was, you know, kind of take it over. And in the middle of that, then we would watch it. Would be watching a game, and I'd be studying. And my room was right beside where the TV was, backed up to where the TV was. And all of a sudden, I would hear, "Come on, LaDainian!" really loud, and I'm like reading about like the Trinity of God, and like I could not focus at all. And it was fine, but it was like, "Come on, man! Like, simmer down." And then also there was a competitive nature, but not competitive in a sports way like I was used to, but an academic competition kind of thing of who was smarter. And in fact, one time we were in a class together. We were friends and stuff, but it was, had to work harder, difficult relationship. Was in the same class, New Testament class, first semester. We had written this paper. We got a paper back, and you know how that is. It's like, dear God, please say I didn't fail this thing, you know? So I get my first paper back, and I had gotten an A on the paper, and I was like, yes, you know, maybe they graded the wrong one, but I don't care, you know? And so I get my paper, and I'm just walking out, like, minding my own business. And this guy comes walking over to me, and he had like steam coming out of his ears. And he ripped the paper out of my hands, didn't know what I got, but he wanted to see what I got on my grade. It's like, dude, we're like past college. Like, let's get over some of that. This is how it was. But anyway, ripped it out of my hands, and I had gotten an A, and he had gotten something much less than an A. And so he was so mad because it was kind of like, I'm smarter than you and I know it. How did you get an A kind of thing? And he was like, let's go to the professor and let's take our papers and let the professor explain why you got an A and why I didn't. It's like, nope, I'm good. I'll take my A and I'll walk off. But difficult people, difficult relationships. I say this because this just makes light of things that we deal with in our relationships. You have people like this too. They're not bad people. It just takes a little bit more time. Difficult relationships. And in fact, it's one of those times where we kind of have to, sometimes it's because we're wired differently than that person. Sometimes it's because we just have different personalities, and sometimes they're like sandpaper on each other, right? Sometimes it's because there's some kind of insecurity in our life or the life of somebody around us, and those insecurities bleed out, and it makes connecting with people more difficult. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read a lot of different scripture today, just bounce around. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, here's what he says about this. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. I don't like that word sometimes. Bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But I want to watch the game. You know, I'm ready to, you know, get to my stuff. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, one of the things that the Apostle Paul says that's interesting here is that he says that when we encounter difficult people, that God wants us to bear with them in love. I want you to think of like a weightlifter. If you ever lifted weights or especially if you've been on a bench press before, there is this weight that presses down on you, right? There's this weight that's just pressing down on you, and it just, you feel the weight, you feel the tension of that weight that's pressing down. And so what he's saying is, look, sometimes relationships are like that. Sometimes relationships can become difficult, and it's like we have to push that weight. We have to bear with one another in love. And so I think bearing one with one another in love means that we have to do the hard work in difficult relationships. We have to do the hard work to hold up the burdens of the other people around us. So it's an important thing. And sometimes what I found is God will oftentimes expose you to people that are maybe difficult to relate to because God wants to do something in you. God wants to grow you. And oftentimes through those difficult relationships, as you press in, as you bear with one another in love, God starts to grow your patience. You know, you've heard that before. If you ever want to, you never ask for patience because God will give you things to be patient for. But God will oftentimes do things with difficult relationships, not just to deal with other people, but to grow you. So that's number one. Here's the second thing. Sometimes relationships are unhealthy relationships. Number two, unhealthy relationships. And unhealthy relationships are unhealthy people. It's not like they're bad or anything like that, but just we all have things in our life going on. We all have things that kind of scar us and hurt us, and sometimes that bleeds into us becoming unhealthy and even the people around us. And so unhealthy connection is usually something that grows over time. You may remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about one of the connections is bad connection. Sometimes a bad connection where you leave feeling bad about yourself is kind of what is an unhealthy relationship. But it's not always that. Sometimes, usually, it's because there's some kind of conflict that emerges in your relationship, where either you caused that conflict or somebody else did, and there's unresolved conflict under the surface, and oftentimes that relationship starts to become unhealthy. Where maybe there's this tension that everybody walks around and there's unspoken reality and it kind of feels unhealthy. And so, but other times, there's things that somebody in your life is just going through. They're going through something. And we look at it and we say, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're acting like this. But at the same time, on the inside, there's something going on in their heart and in their life. There's something they're wrestling with. One of my evangelism professors once said that, you know, one of the things we need to learn to do is to see people the way Jesus saw them. And he used this acronym, HALT, H-A-L-T. Sometimes we need to see people as hurting, angry, lonely, and tired. It's maybe not what's going out on the outside, but there's things in their life where maybe in some kind of way they are hurting. There's something that happened at work and they're hurting. They got burned by something. Maybe they're angry because somebody pulled out in front of them on the way to church, right? You know, maybe they're angry in some kind of way. Sometimes they're just lonely. Like they're searching for connection and it's not happening. They're so lonely and it bleeds out into something that looks unhealthy. And oftentimes it's because I know, like in my life, I'm not very fun to be around when I'm tired. So sometimes we get tired and the enemy kind of gets a hold of us when we're tired and unhealthiness comes out. And so it's one of those things where sometimes people are going through something personally or maybe even emotionally, they start to become unhealthy for a season. So they can drift in and out. So anyway, that's that relationship. And so unhealthy relationships, we have to kind of walk this tightrope in our lives of just, you know, how much do we love and connect and keep pouring into people that are becoming unhealthy? And how much, when is it time to kind of, okay, pull back and pull, not pull away, but to kind of create some boundaries so we don't get dragged down in our life and in our faith. Here's the third one. And this is kind of, there would be very few people that would be in this category in your life. And it would be this. Toxic people or toxic relationships. That's hard to say that about people, isn't it? Toxic people, toxic relationships. It's not saying they're bad. It's just saying, look, there's something that's gone on in their life. There's something that's going on. And in some kind of way, think about what toxic is. It's poison, right? And it's not that they're poison or whatever, but it's like toxic people. It's almost like it's one of those things where it's like poison starts to spew toxic on everybody they come in contact with. And so when you think about toxic relationships, it's usually people that are habitually negative to everybody around them. It's oftentimes it's people, you know, people in your life probably who enjoy to stir the pot, you know, like there's conflict. They like to kind of give a little jab and they like to stir that conflict. Sometimes toxic people do that. Like toxic people will often, because there's something that they don't like in their life, there's something that's off, oftentimes they want to make everybody else feel the same way. And so they stir the pot. This is more than just brotherly jabs, you know, this is like, you know, stirring the pot. And so what happens is you and everybody else around them, you always get sucked in. And so toxic people seem to thrive on making everybody else kind of experience that too. So those are the three things. And here's what Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. This is just a general great word. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise. for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now let's keep it on the screen because this is interesting. Walk with the wise and become wise. In other words, who you spend time with in your relationships, you oftentimes will become. I mean, if you spend time with healthy, wise people, then oftentimes you'll become more wise. It's like contagious. It'll rub off on you. Well, you have a better chance of being healthy. And I used to think when I read this verse that the next part, for a companion of fools suffers harm, I used to think that it's like, okay, if I walk with a companion of fools, then that means that I'm going to turn into a fool too. That's not what it's saying. What it says is that you'll oftentimes suffer harm. That means whether I adopt their thinking and their way of life, we're around toxic people, whether we buy in and we start acting like that or not, that oftentimes we will suffer some kind of harm. It's almost like the shrapnel of their life, of toxic people, will oftentimes explode onto our lives. And so kind of a hard word, a hard thing to think about, but there's people who got in a car with somebody. And they were doing something they shouldn't be doing. And you didn't buy into that way of thinking. You didn't do it. But all of a sudden, somebody had an accident. And there's people who now have no, can't use their legs. Not because something they did, but because of the shrapnel of the decision other people had made. So these are kind of the things. And this is why it's so important. And so one of the most difficult, but I think one of the most freeing things as a Christian is learning that even Jesus had boundaries. Even Jesus had boundaries in his relationships. In fact, I think one of the hardest things in the church, one of the hardest things that we struggle with in the church is this idea of boundaries. Because we're taught, and rightfully so, that we're to go out and love everybody, right? Jesus loved everybody. We're called to go into all the world and make disciples, all this stuff, right? But we don't do a good job of talking about how to do that in a healthy way, how to have boundaries. And so oftentimes we feel bad about boundaries because we feel like we're not loving people. But I want to tell you that it's maybe one of the best things you can do to love people and to love people well. And so here's the thing. With every bridge that Jesus built bridges all the time. With every bridge that Jesus built in his relationships, there was always a series of walls that were there as well. I mean, if you think about it, those walls enabled Jesus to his love to flow out and to do ministry with people. Well, at the same time, the walls prevented him from letting his walk get dragged down. He's fully God, fully man. But also it kept him from being burned out in his life so he could do more ministry. And so before we kind of dig into this a little bit more, I think the thing we have to recognize is there is always a tension. That there's a real tension that we have to recognize and manage in all of our relationships. We can't ignore it. Because on the one hand, the Bible says things like this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So on the one hand, that kind of tells us, okay, let's just, bad company corrupts good character. Okay, I guess I should just not hang out with anybody that's like, maybe makes me go astray. But at the same time, you look at Jesus' life, and Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus was at the parties, hanging out with the people who were so far from God. He stayed with people, and he ate with people. And it's a tension that was there. We have to recognize and manage it. On the other hand, there's scripture like this. It says, "Do not be yoked with unbelievers." And do not be yoked with unbelievers. And so in some ways, we're not to be of the world. But then Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to be in the world, so that you can be a light of the world." It's like, what in the world? Like, so am I supposed to be in the world, not of the world? How do I do that? It's a tension to manage. Here's another verse that's really fun and interesting. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. It says this: "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person." That's good advice. I think it's funny. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate," which means to be around. "Do not associate with anyone, with one easily angered." Verse 25, or you will learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Now, it's kind of like Jesus saying, stay away, be on guard, don't be associated with anybody like this. Proverbs is saying this. But then Jesus turns in the Great Commission and he says, wait, here's your mission, guys. I want you to go into all the world and I want you to make disciples of Jesus Christ and transform the world. And we're looking at this like, don't be associated, but I'm supposed to reach out and, I mean, God, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just avoid people who tempt me to stray away from you? Or should I pull back? Or should I be the light that reaches out to those people? And Jesus would say, yes, yes, absolutely, both. It's not a problem that we just solve. It's a tension we constantly have to manage as followers of Jesus. We're to be in the world, but we're to be not of the world. And so this is an interesting thing, because if we look at Jesus as the model, he's the model for all relationships. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus loved everybody equally. He loved the whole world. He loved everybody equally. In fact, there were times where the crowd was there and he was doing everything he could to teach them and to love them. He loved everybody equally. But check this out. Jesus didn't treat everybody equally. It's kind of a weird thing. Jesus loved everybody equally, but he didn't treat every relationship the same. And neither should we. And here's the thing. Jesus, he loved the whole crowd. He poured into them. He taught them. He fed them. All sorts of things. But he spent his life, he spent 3 years of his life investing, giving more access to 12 people. I mean, he came to save the whole world, but he invested in 12 people. Why did he do that? It's because if he was just going out and doing a few things to everybody, the impact wouldn't be very big. And so Jesus poured everything that he had and taught these 12 disciples to do everything that he did. He taught them what it looks like to live in the kingdom. And he says, now I want you to go out and show other people what it looks like too. But out of these 12 disciples, there were actually a smaller group of people that Jesus invested in more. There were three. Who were those three? You remember? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter, James, and John, we know a lot of stories about them, but you think about it, Jesus is doing all these things with the disciples. He served them communion before the, you know, at the Last Supper. But right before all, shortly before all that, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, just them, up to a mountain. And it was called the Transfiguration, where he showed them all of his glory. The other guys, the other 12 of the group, they didn't get to see it. But Jesus showed them his glory. Then there was a time when Jesus was going through one of the most difficult times in his life, getting ready to go to the cross. And he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it wasn't the 12 disciples who was with him. Guess who was there? The three. Peter, James, and John. His closest friends, his closest companions in his time of greatest need. And so it's an interesting thing, because we realize that I think it's an important lesson for our lives. Because it shows us, it's like Jesus is giving us permission and encouraging us to have similar boundaries in our relationships. You can't invest in everybody the same. And so just like Jesus, we all need to have kind of like an inner circle. It's not closed off or anything like that, but we all need to have an inner circle, what some people call your core. Your core. And your core is 4, 5, 6, 7 committed followers of Jesus. Your core needs to be people who are committed followers of Jesus, who can build you up in Christ. These are people who need to be on the same journey of faith as you are. This is your core. These are the people where you draw strength from, encouragement from. These are people who have access to speak into your life and sometimes to even hold you accountable when's needed. You even serve with them sometimes, all sorts of things. When I think about a group like this, I think of a refresh group. This is kind of what we created here. This is why we encourage people to get in a group. We want you to have a core of people who are on the same journey with you following Jesus, because you can't do life and you can't do faith alone. And so it's one of the things, if you have your core of people who are committed to Christ, they can help your roots to grow deeper in Christ. And Craig Rochelle once said that when your roots grow deeper, your reach can go wider. When your roots are deep, your reach can go wide. And this is why it's so important. But so it's one of those things, in other words, if you let the right people influence you and support you in Christ, all of a sudden you have so much more capacity to go and be the light of the world to people around you. We need our core. And so oftentimes, though, people in our lives, we don't have boundaries. And so many times we draw our strength from so many people outside of our core. We draw strength from people who aren't committed followers of Christ. And then oftentimes when we do, we get our spiritual butt kicked. We walk around and our life starts to go astray and we start to look like everybody else. And so this is why it's so important. We have to have boundaries, because if we have no boundaries, then unhealthy relationships can suck up the margin in your life for all healthy relationships. This is why it's so important. So here's the first thing I want to tell you today about relationships. Number one is this. Create margin for healthy, Christ-centered relationships. Create margin for healthy, Christ-centered relationships. You know this. One of the things that for me growing up in youth group, I had this group of people, obviously, like I played sports, football, baseball, basketball. And you know, of course, you're in the world. Like when you're in the locker room, you are in the world, you know? And, but one of the things I had my core. And my core were these five guys in my youth group. Mike Turner was one of them. One of the five guys. I was another one of the five. So there's, you know, two of the five. But anyway, what we did is like, we didn't see each other all the time. The only thing we had in common together was our connection to Jesus. Like me and Mike played sports, but everybody else, like they was like, we would have never hung out with together. But our connection was our connection to Jesus. And so what we would do is on Sundays, we'd go to church. Then we'd come back for choir at 4. Then at 5, whatever time we did, we would go to youth group, kind of like what we're starting this next week. We'd go to our youth group experience, and it was awesome. And we would take the time to pour into those relationships. It was our core. And then when I went out into the school, I didn't feel like I was going there empty. I felt like I was going into all the world, and I was going to shine a light of Jesus. And I wasn't looking for people to draw strength from around me, because I had my strength coming from Jesus in my core. This is why we need this in our lives. And so when you're one of the things is Jesus oftentimes, people were always wanting to be around Jesus. They were always needing stuff from Jesus. I mean, there were times where everybody's like, Jesus, 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 you know? And they would be reaching out to him, and his disciples were needy at times. They were confused a lot. There were times when, you know, there were people around him that were needing healing, like, Jesus, we need you. Or we need provision, we need food, we need you, Jesus. But check this out. Jesus would often leave the people who were needy. He's Jesus. He'd leave the people who were needy. He would draw a line in the sand, set up a boundary, and he would walk off for like days at a time to go pray with his Father in heaven. This is Jesus. And so Jesus would draw strength from his Father. There were other times he would walk away from people who were in need so that he could go invest in his disciples to be around those people. It's one of those things where, as Christians, we should be drawn to people. We should help people. We should love people. But in order to be equipped to do that, we have to draw our strength from our healthy Christ-centered relationships, from Jesus and the relationships around us. So here's the question. Who are those people in your life? Who are the people in your core? And if you kind of look around and you're like, you know what, my core isn't really what the core should be. Maybe it's an opportunity to step into connection with some people who are on the same track, trying to follow Jesus with you. Maybe you join a group. Maybe you find some people to connect with. But we all need our core. So as we talk about doing difficult relationships, unhealthy relationships, toxic relationships, should we burn or should we build? I want us to think a little bit differently about really boundaries. And it's really this. Here's the second thing I want to tell you. And it's this. Never burn a bridge. Never burn a bridge. Now, it's funny because people tell you this in the business world, like, never burn a bridge because you can use that connection sometime. That's not what I'm saying. Christ followers, we never burn a bridge. Instead, build a different kind of bridge. Build a different kind of bridge. We don't give everybody the same access to our lives. We don't burn bridges, because what happens when you burn a bridge, it always tears people down and it leaves people on both sides burned, right? They've got the burn marks to show. Instead, healthy people know how to build the right kind of bridges at the right times in every relationship. So let me tell you about three bridges that you can think about building. The first one is a highway bridge or an interstate bridge. This is the kind of bridge we need to build in our relationships, but not with everybody. Think about a highway bridge. Highway bridge is designed to give as much access, open, wide, unless you're in Atlanta traffic. You know, we pray for that in Jesus' name. But anyway, highway bridges and interstate bridges are designed to give people full access, to give people wide, full, open access to pass through all the time. And so this bridge, this is the bridge that we're called to build with our spouse if you're married. To give your spouse full open access to your life and what's going on in your life. You give access, you build this kind of bridge with your closest friends, with your closest family, where you give certain people full access to your life. And that means that we're available to them and we invest in them and we're most open about what's going on in our lives and what's going on in their lives. But it's so important, because every relationship, especially marriages, are built on trust. And so many times we put up walls and we don't give our spouse or the people closest to us open access to our lives. I love how some of my pastor friends, I'm in this like meeting that's super important, but they'll oftentimes will get a call and they'll ignore it. You know, it's like, well, I'm in a meeting. But they'll get a call and say, oh, wait a minute, this is my wife. And they'll pick it up and they'll answer it. You know why? They built a highway bridge. Because there's no earthly relationship, no meeting bigger than that one connection. And so sometimes we, not to say you can't ever do that and, you know, not pick up your phone and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is we've got to give open access to the people closest in our lives. But what we don't want to do is give everybody access to a highway bridge, because that means we got no boundaries and we get burned. And so we all need boundaries to protect us from harm and allow real connection to happen so it doesn't suck up the opportunity for the people that we need to connect with most. Here's bridge number two that we need to think about building is a toll bridge. We don't see many of these. Thanks be to God. But anyway, a toll bridge. What does a toll bridge do? In order to cross to from one side to the next, what do you have to do? You got to pay. You got to pay the price. You got to pay the price. And so a toll bridge, these are for people that are in your core. You build toll bridges for people that are in your core. Why? It's because you give certain people access to your life in a bigger way. Only the people who have paid the price. They're paying the price in their spiritual life. They're following God. They're paying that price. And they're also paying the price in investing in you, and you're investing in them. And so you give people, think about people in a refresh group. You give them access to speak into your life and to share your joys and concerns and things you wouldn't share with your coworkers, right? You give them access because they're paying the price in their faith, and you're paying the price in your faith, and they're caring for you as you are for them. Do you have those kind of people in your life where people are paying the price? You don't give everybody access, but those who pay the price. Here's the third kind of bridge that we are to build. And this is really when we encounter unhealthy people, difficult people, and even toxic people. It's a drawbridge. Now think about like a castle. You know, you got to think, there's nothing like finishing this series with a castle. You know, think about the moat with alligators underneath, you know, all that stuff, the water. But anyway, what does a drawbridge do? A drawbridge gives certain people access. Oh, it's you. Come on in. Oh, we're not sleeping right now. Come on in, right? But what does a drawbridge do? Certain times and certain people in certain situations, it's like, well, hold on. You don't have access right now. And you close that bridge. And the bridge becomes a wall. And it's not bad. It's setting a boundary. And so a drawbridge, think about this. It's like thinking about a drawbridge gives access to certain people at certain times, but it restricts it to certain people and certain times. One of the things that I've done in my life, sometimes you think about what kind of boundaries would this be. What it means is sometimes you restrict access to only certain places in certain relationships. For me as a pastor, one of the things I do is when I meet people out in the community. I don't meet people in my own office one-on-one in my house or anything like that, typically, right? I meet people out in the community. Some of y'all know I go to Panera a lot, not because I like Panera. I don't even like the sandwiches. You know, they've got good, I don't want to do an infomercial for them. But it's a good place, but I meet there because it's a way that it's like, hey, this is a great place to meet, and it's open, and it's in public. And so I do that. It's a drawbridge. Sometimes we create boundaries in our life where maybe we don't communicate with people during certain hours. All right, I'm done with work for the day. I'm not going to pick up my phone and deal with work stuff when I'm home, you know? That's a drawbridge. Or maybe sometimes it's like I'm getting texted or called at 1 a.m. by my mom or by my friend or whatever. Or, you know, super early. Or I'm in the middle of work or I'm on my day off. You create a drawbridge. You can contact me during these times, but when I'm asleep, you know, the drawbridge is up. At the same time, you all have people in your family, probably people in your relationships. And maybe there's something that's difficult. You get them around them and it's kind of a toxic relationship, but they're family and you love them, right? And so what do you have to do? It's like, okay, I limit access. Maybe it's like once a week I talk to them, once a month. We reach out to people, we let the drawbridge down, but we limit the amount of time that we open the bridge. We sometimes pull it back. So I want you to think about this. What new types of bridges do you need to build? What new types of bridges do you need to build? Not burn a bridge, but how can you build a different bridge? There may be somebody in your life where maybe you look around and say, look, maybe there's a way I need to create some boundaries and build a drawbridge in this relationship. How can I do a better job so I can have access to the healthy relationships? On the other hand, are there people in my life like my spouse where I need to have give more access to? The thing is, all of this is built on the reality that God has built a bridge to us. And he invites us to build bridges of connection to other people. And we need God's help And we need to be committed. We need a group of people who can support us in that walk. But our strength comes from God as He works to build bridges through us.